As world leaders gather in Japan for the G20 summit, our Prime Minister will tonight sit down for dinner with the US President and some of the President's most senior and trusted advisers. Scott Morrison will use this occasion to deliver a direct plea to Donald Trump to bring to an end America's trade war with China. Here's our PM speaking yesterday.
The world's most important bilateral relationship, the US-China relationship, is clearly strained. Trade tensions have escalated. The collateral damage is spreading. The global trading system is under real pressure. Global growth projections are being wound back. The impact of any further deterioration of that relationship will not be limited to those two major powers.
Scott Morrison speaking yesterday, but the Prime Minister may not get his wish of a break in the trade war. The US President has overnight hardened his rhetoric, pledging fresh tariffs if talks with China at the G20 fail.
My plan B with China is to take in billions and billions of dollars a month, and we'll do less and less business with them. They have taken advantage of us as a country for so long. They devalue their currency like a ping pong ball.
US President speaking yesterday. Well, Dr. Charles Idell is a senior fellow at the United States Studies Center. He was an advisor on Asia-Pacific issues to the former US Secretary of State, John Kerry. Charles Idell, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thanks for having me on, Fred.
Charles, let's set the scene for this dinner, a working dinner. On the Australia side, you have Prime Minister Scott Morrison, Finance Minister Matthias Cormann, and Trade Minister Simon Birmingham. On the US side, Donald Trump, the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, and the National Security Advisor John Bolton. So it's a room of heavy hitters. What chance do you think of an Australian Prime Minister persuading the US President to lay off the trade war? What weight would Scott Morrison carry in a room like that?
Well, his voice will resonate with Trump because Trump always listens to Australia. But the chance for the trade war being called off is very, very low. And in fact, they haven't done the prep work to get a resolution on the trade war. So the most that can be hoped for here is an agreement that the United States and China would resume trade talks, which were called off in May.
And do you see, I'll come back to the atmospherics of this meeting, but do you see the signs from China or the US that they are interested in doing this, that both of them, obviously both of them have skin in this game, or as the president would say, billions and billions and trillions at risk?
I think both of them do have an incentive to come back to the negotiating table. That doesn't mean that there will be resolution, because the reason they fell apart last time was, according to the United States, that China had backtracked off of previous committed reforms that it had taken. I think there's a real motivation on Xi Jinping's part for there to be a resumption not only of trade talks, but to be some normalcy with the economic relationship with the United States, because trade's now fallen to the lowest it's been for China since 1990.
And yet China's ambassador to Australia said yesterday in a public speech that China will, quote, fight to the end in this trade war with the US. What do you interpret that to mean?
That's negotiating position. It's also smart politics for China that if the United States and China do not resolve this, which I don't think they're likely to, more indigenous production is going to happen within China. That's what he's saying there.
That China will just get on with their own economy and not worry about the US.
I mean, one of the bigger issues that we're talking about here, Fran, is the United States and China are already beginning to decouple their economies. That is moving forward. And as that moves forward, China has to look in many ways for where it's going to replace American technology that has been flowing freely into China for the last 30 years. That's one of the things that he's saying there.
One of the reasons that U.S. intellectual technology has been flowing into China, some say, and many say, is because China's been stealing it. And there is a broad recognition, actually, beyond Donald Trump, that China does need to start playing by the rules, and the rules need to be tougher for China. We spoke to Pascal Lamy some weeks ago, who was making comments around this. Do you think China understands that and is preparing for that, or has it already made changes?
Well, look, when we listened to the Prime Minister's speech yesterday, he said this, right? That when China acceded to the World Trade Organization in 2000, it was a developing nation that agreed to play by the rules. Fast forward 20 years later, it is no longer a developing nation in large parts of China. This is what Morrison laid out yesterday, and it still does not play by the rules, particularly around industrial policy, massive subsidies that give it an unfair advantage, as well as stealing IP, as well as preventing market access. I think China understands this very well. I do not think it's going to make anything other than cosmetic changes, because making things that are different than cosmetic changes is fundamentally a threat to the Chinese model of development.
So, Charles, are you saying that it's clear from China's behavior that no matter the pressure brought upon it at a meeting like the WTO or a meeting like the G20 in these next 2 days will make any difference? Because, you know, as the Prime Minister said yesterday, the trade tension is causing collateral damage in other areas of global economics. So we're not the only country feeling this. Would you expect a pile-on at the G20 on this issue from other states and that to make any difference on America or China?
So I'm not sure I would expect a pile-on, but pile-ons do have effect. So I would say that Donald Trump's coercive policy, right, with the tariffs, has some effect. But even the U.S. trade representative has said that he's not sure that they alone would shift Chinese behavior. Only China can decide that. The thing that's more likely to shift Chinese behavior in a substantive way is when Beijing hears from multiple countries their concerns. So a pile-on effect, actually, I think, and the more public it is, has more utility for shifting Chinese behavior.
There's at least a 50-50 chance that US President Donald Trump will no longer be the president after February 2021. There's an election next year. If that were to happen, would the trade war end, or would you expect a Democrat president to continue?
It will evolve. There's a lot of criticism, and we could probably do this interview tomorrow morning after the first round of debates and hear what the Democratic candidates say about this. But I think it's really important to note that there is a bipartisan consensus, an agreement in Washington, that it has to do more to take on Chinese economic aggression. Now, what you're also beginning to hear emerge from a lot of the Democratic candidates, and I say a lot because I'm hearing this from four or five of the leading candidates already, is that the fault that they find with the Trump administration is that the diagnosis is right, but the prescription is wrong. And so what you're hearing a call for is more competition, but also being less confrontational, being smarter about how you compete. And the main way to do that is with allies.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 16 minutes to 8. Our guest is Dr. Charles Adell, ex-advisor to the former US Secretary of State John Kerry, talking about being less confrontational. Also at this dinner tonight with Scott Morrison and Donald Trump is, for instance, the US National Security Advisor John Bolton. So pretty clear that Iran will also be a priority at this dinner. Would you expect the president to be asking an ally like Australia to support America should these tensions escalate? And would you expect that support to be asked in terms of tariffs or potential military action?
Who knows what will come up in what order? That's always true for this. In terms of what the U.S. objectives are with Iran, the objectives are to safeguard the Straits of Hormuz, to make sure that there is the free flow of oil, and also to make sure that the nuclear program does not accelerate past where it has. I would imagine that they would discuss both of those as objectives. In terms for what the United States will ask of Australia, who knows, because I think Trump is unsure from minute to minute what he is going to do with Iran.
Do you think Australia should lay down its, not red lines exactly, but its limits on what it would be prepared to do? The British Foreign Minister Jeremy Hunt says he's concerned about the, quote, risks of an accidental war. He says Britain won't be drawn in to such a war. Should Scott Morrison deliver the same message?
I think that there's a delicate tightrope to walk here, where Scott Morrison should advocate that these are commonly shared objectives, keeping the free flow of oil and making sure that Iran does not proceed towards a nuclear development and missile capacity. However, the mode by which the United States is undertaking this is potentially counterproductive to that end. And I think saying that will have effect.
And Charles, you've been around for a while in American politics up close and personal. The US president said overnight any war with Iran will be a short war. You're not talking boots on the ground. Now, Americans have heard this kind of comment before, haven't
they? So we have.
Unlikely to be impressed with this? What do you think?
Well, the GOP senators seem to be cheering this on and seem to be very impressed. You heard Tom Cotton, a Republican senator, a big cheerleader of President Trump, who served in Iraq, by the way, saying that he fundamentally agreed with this. I think the American public is not going to buy that argument.
Charles Adell, thank you very much.
Thanks, friend.
Dr. Charles Adell is a senior fellow at the U.S. Study Center, University of Sydney, and a former U.S. State Department official under John Kerry.